Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Now is the time to trim your lamps and get ready for the coming of the Lord.
Friends, the Lord is coming soon. Are you ready? Join us now for the Midnight Cry broadcast.
Well, praise the Lord. Thank God that those songs aren't just entertainment, they're true. Praise the Lord. That's our hope this morning. Well, I've had a lot of thoughts go through my mind, and I'm just trusting the Lord with this. Of course, that's not a new thing. Need to be trusting the Lord all the time. But I feel especially inadequate, and yet, isn't that the foundation of everything? We are inadequate. We can't live, we can't serve, we can't do anything unless He does it in and through us. So that's my prayer this morning, that the Lord will absolutely take over and just have His way. I'd like to read a scripture that we often read. I just want to focus in a particular way today, and that's in Ephesians chapter 6. Carl, I'm sorry, I guess I have your affliction this morning. But anyway, this is where Paul, after talking about so many aspects of truth and encouragement that the believers needed, he says in verse 10, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." And then he goes on to describe the armor. But my focus is on the fact that we have talked about a number of times the reality of this world and what it's about. And of course, we'll get to how it affects us, because it's not just information about the world. We need something that will help us right where we're at in our Christian walk. But the fact is, there is an unseen kingdom. We see the kingdoms of the world, the presidents, the emperors, the kings, whatever they are, prime ministers, and the various levels of government, the armies of the world. We see all those things visibly. We think of this capital city and that one and wars, and we think in a very physical way, but there is an unseen kingdom that's very real. And I feel like the Lord wants us to delve into this a little bit more than perhaps we have and become a little more conscious of what it is that Paul is talking about when he says to take on the armor because we wrestle not and so forth. What does that mean? Well, for the world, it means that this world is, as we have often pointed out, under the control of the enemy. There is an unseen kingdom that literally rules over the hearts of men. It blinds their minds. It causes them to be under His power, unaware of the Lord and His purposes and His kingdom. But I wonder many times if this isn't just a kind of a vague idea. Okay, there's a kingdom out there, and you know, we see its effects in this broad general sense. But I believe the Lord wants us to get back to where we are conscious of the fact that that breaks down into individual members of that kingdom. We call them demons. We call them evil spirits, devils, whatever you want to call them. You know, we think about earthly governments and we say, Putin attacked, you know, was it Ukraine? Don't get old. Putin was sitting there probably in a bunker or a secure location in Moscow, and he didn't have anything to do with it. He wasn't the one out there pulling the triggers and throwing the bomb, dropping the bombs and all of that. He was, but yet we say he did it. There are a lot of things where we read in the scripture about the devil. You know, resist the devil. Well, I think we have to realize, if we're honest, that Lucifer, the person we know as the devil, does not literally come down and bother us as individual believers or individual people. Now, he does interact with humanity, but that's when it's talking about the devil, it's talking about his kingdom. And there are hordes of literal spirit beings who serve his interests and who affect the lives of individual people. You know, there was a time when the Lord was visiting the church here in an unusual way. We don't spend a lot of time talking about that. It's not what we're about. But it was real. And we became very conscious of the activity of demon spirits and how they affected people. In some cases, it was demon possession, but there were many others where, you know, you saw that there were, you could see the effect of something, but then you realize, hey, there's a spirit behind it. And I know it's an uncomfortable subject in many ways, and usually when you bring up something like this, it says, oh, don't talk about that. It's just people's personalities. And, you know, it's just kind of, where does that wisdom come from? Yeah. We've got a kingdom of spirits that literally have a plan and a purpose to dominate humankind. They would love if they could to drive out God and all of his people from this earth, and Satan would have his hands completely on everything and everybody. That's what he would like. Thank God for the blood that was shed on that cross. Thank God that he was defeated. You know, in the message that we preached and the one in the MCM, Things the Devil Knows, he knows that his time is short and he knows he doesn't have the power. But that doesn't mean we don't have to have some understanding in this area. Because spirits do affect people. Now, I know one of the things that, as soon as you get into that, you get into questions about demon possession and oppression and all that kind of stuff. Frankly, I don't care about trying to sort all that out. All I know is the devil will affect any person that he can, to any degree he can. If it's just a matter of whispering in their ear and shaping their thinking and encouraging their motivations in a wrong sense, and it's all from out here, well, that's part of it. But if it gets to the point where spirits gain such an access to a person that they come to live in that person, do you know that happens literally? Yeah, I mean, we know from Scripture, certainly, that they literally can be taken over. And then you get cases where someone's totally out of control. And like when Jesus saw the man in the tombs there, he talked, but the person that talked back to him was not the man, was it? It was one of the many spirits that were living inside the man that had such control that he literally was able to exercise the man's mind, his body, his tongue, everything about him. It was not the person, it was the spirit. You know that's real? You read the headlines every day and it's pretty obvious what's happening in the world. And you think about Mary Magdalene, one of the characters, one of the ladies who went around and no doubt cooked food and helped take care of the disciples and Jesus when they traveled around. But what does it say about her? Out of her went seven devils. What does that literally mean? If somebody had seen her someplace, they would say, there is a woman, and there is her name is Mary, and so Mary lives inside this human body that I see before me. But Mary wasn't alone. Before Jesus came along, there were seven other personalities. You know, demons have names. They are real beings. And you know, we've had testimony recently and from time to time of incidents where people have been able to see demon spirits. They are real. Now, I want to very quickly point out that all of this is not to inspire fear. The demon spirits do not have the power to just come and, you know, like some kind of monster, gobble you up and take over. They've got to work behind the scenes. They have got to use strategy, which is one thing Paul talks about here. They have got to work almost like a guerrilla force, if you will. They've got to be behind the scenes, unrecognized. I'll tell you, this world is totally, is it not, under the control of the devil? Do they not live under his dominion? Are they not blind? That's the world that we live in. And people do not know where their ideas, where their motivations come from. And you literally have spirits whose job it is to go around and study people. Do you know there are spirits that study you and me? Why? What's going on? What's that about? The devil is looking for any kind of a weakness, any kind of an opening that's there. And of course, we know that people are unique, aren't they? We're not the same as each other. And you have people that are more intellectual, and you have others that are more emotional, and all kinds of different variations of human personality. Well, the devil is going to study each person, say, now, where's the weakness here? How can I get to them? How can I begin to inject my influence into their minds and their hearts? And, you know, you can almost see, and I don't know if this how literal this is, but you can almost see spirits going around with a notebook, studying somebody. It's as real as if they were doing that. This is not fantasy. There are people the Lord has allowed to know these things and then come and be able to tell us because the Lord pulled them out of that. This is real. But there are devils that literally will study you and say, you know, there's a weakness here. Hey, you spirit of fear, come here. There's a weakness. It's in the family. And I want you to take this person and work on that. And I want you to just keep ministering that and get a degree of influence and control over their lives. I want you to weaken them. And as you do, I want you to kind of pay attention and study them. Because other weaknesses are going to show up. And then maybe we can bring in a spirit of something else and all these things. And we're going to get control. See, I don't care whether it's the degree that where you have to put somebody in an asylum or whether it's somebody that looks respectable. There are plenty of people who look respectable in our society, and you don't have any idea that they are under the control of Lucifer in their thinking and their actions. It doesn't have to be some crazy crime that makes it obvious. If the devil has got somebody to the point where they love this world, any aspect of it, whether it's the lust of the flesh or the pride of life, or the things that they can see, the lust of the eyes, he's going to take control. Now you think about the man that came to Jesus and he wanted to become part of the kingdom. But Jesus knew he had an idol. And so he said, here's what you do. You sell everything you have, you give it to the poor, and then you come, take up your cross and follow me. Well, what happened? He walked away, sadly. There was a weakness in his life. Now, anybody looking on would have think, there's a respectable guy. He's wealthy. He's successful. God's blessed him. Isn't that awesome? Do you think that was just an interaction between Jesus and a human being, or was there the influence of the enemy that had built up to the point where there was a stronghold in his life? Folks, that's the world that we're dealing with.
The message you have heard is part of a regular church service recorded as it was being ministered. CD and DVD copies of this service in its entirety are available. To assist with postage and processing costs, an offering of $5 is suggested for CDs and $10 for DVDs. Please identify the station over which you have heard this broadcast and provide the broadcast date when ordering. You may also receive our quarterly publication, The Midnight Cry Messenger, which is mailed out free and postage paid to all who request it. Our mailing address is Midnight Cry Ministries, Post Office Box 685, Southern Pines, North Carolina 28388. Or you may choose to visit us on the World Wide Web at www.midnightcry.org.
And now, may God richly bless you until our next broadcast.